This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 212, Sin Cannot Reign in Our Lives, Passion and Evil Desire. The spiritual appetizer we'll be using in this episode is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. Passion and evil desire. Read with me now, Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. We have been set free from sin. In verse 17 of Romans chapter 6, it says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." If we have truly obeyed from the heart, then we have been set free from sin. Verse 18, we're no longer slaves of sin. We have to stop acting as if we are still slaves to sin. And we have to get rid of the sin that is in our lives. We have to become dead to sin. Romans chapter 12 in verse 1 says, "We present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service." And so if we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, then where is the room in our life any longer for passion and evil desires? Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 8. And through 10. Proverbs chapter 21, verses 8 through 10. "The way of a guilty man is perverse, but as for the pure, his work is righteous. Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his sight." In today's podcast, we're talking about passion and evil desire. And in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 10, it says, "The soul of the wicked desires evil." What is evil desires? A craving or longing for evil. The wicked long for evil. They look for ways to be evil, and they revel in it. They enjoy in it. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his sight, and so he never looks to do good for his neighbor. He's always looking for what he can get out of his neighbor, but he's never looking to do good to his neighbor. His soul desires evil. And we have to be very careful of this. We have to be very careful that our soul does not desire evil, that it desires to do what God wants us to do. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 3, it says that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. Notice what this says. Micah says that they may successfully do evil. They're planning on doing evil. They're planning on it, and then they're working their plan. Notice what it says, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. They're scheming around these evil things. And we need to be very careful in our life that that's not what we're doing, that we're not scheming to do evil. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we've been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. Passion and evil desires. Evil desires is a craving or longing for evil. Passion is passionately wanting to do something, passionately desiring evil in our lives. That's what we got to be very careful of. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, the Bible says, excuse me, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Notice here, the man of God is to seek those things that are above. He's to be looking for those things that are above. If he's scheming to do something, he's scheming to do the will of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of heart and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. We're talking about passion and evil desire. And evil desires is a craving or longing for evil. We need to be the exact opposite of that. Studying, planning to do good, looking for good within God's word, and then longing or craving that good out of his word. Setting our mind on the things that are above. Verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Notice these sins here. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion often causes fornication. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it talks about adultery. Passion would oftentimes cause that adultery. You're passionate for something that you have no right to be passionate for when you commit adultery. You're wanting to be with a spouse of somebody else that you have no right to be with, but your passion drives you to that sin. It's also what causes us to have fornication. And so we've got to put it away from us. We've got to put that to death. There are things that we can be passionate for. We should be passionate for God, but we should not be passionate for things that are going to make us unclean before God. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Notice how many of these sins in verse 8 that we are to put off: anger, passion about something that we shouldn't be passionate about, wrath, again, caused by passion more than likely, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. All these things could be caused by having the wrong passion in your life. And so we've got to be very careful of what we're passionate for. And so inappropriate things that we are being passionate for, we need to put away from us. Even money, the love of money is the root of many different kinds of evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. Being passionate for money is inappropriate. It's idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry, verse 5 of Colossians chapter 3. Verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. When we lived in these sins, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, when we had anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language in our lives, then God's wrath is coming upon us because of our disobedience. We've died to sin. We can no longer let it reign in our lives. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. Passion and evil desires. Having a passion for things in which are inappropriate and desiring or craving or longing things that God calls evil. We've got to be very careful of this in our lives. In Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, the Bible says, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, that law, so that she is no longer adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Notice verse 5 with me again. "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death." Sin in our lives is caused by passions that we should not have. We're passionate for something, we want to do it, and this passion is driving us to do something in which we should not do. "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law." The law said, you can't do this. And because it said we can't do it, we wanted to do it more and more. And we allow that passion to overtake our sense of right and wrong and what we needed to be doing in pleasing God and being passionate for God. It turns into passion against God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Excuse me. "But I say to the unmarried and to the widow, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." Notice this word passion here again. Fornications talked about in several different places. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, talks about passion. Passion or sins are oftentimes caused by passion. Fornication, adultery, wanting to be with somebody that you don't have the right to be with because you're either not married to them or they're married to somebody else and you have a passion for them. One of the reasons we are to marry is it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Passion causes one to commit fornication. And so we've got to be very careful with our passions and appropriately have passion in our life. Passion for God is good, but if we allow passion to control our lives, then we find ourselves in trouble. Just as a man that allows passion to control whether or not he's going to marry and then be with a woman or a man, whichever, a husband and a wife, or they're going to allow their passion for the opposite sex to overwhelm them and they sin before they get married. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we've been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, passion and evil desires. In James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted," and notice this, "each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Notice when sin happens, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. We've got to be very careful that our desires and our passions are right with God. Evil desires is a craving or a longing for evil, wanting to do something in which is not right with God. Drinking alcohol, smoking, lying, cursing, not going to worship services when we need to, and going other places when God wants us to be in worship services, going fishing. Evil desires, desiring or craving a longing for evil. Notice what we're to do with these desires. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires." Romans chapter 12 puts this a different way. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are warned over and over and over throughout the New Testament and Old Testament to be very careful of our passion and evil desires. And Paul told the church at Galatia, here's how you fix it. You crucify your flesh with its passion and desires. If your flesh has been crucified and your passion and desires have been crucified, then there's only room for one in your life. You're to renew your mind, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. When we do this, we're no longer making the decisions in our life. Our passion, our evil desires that we desire for us, for ourselves, they're gone. They've been crucified. They've been put to death so that we can renew our mind and we can put the mind of Christ in us. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. Passion and evil desires. Passion can get us in trouble. Evil desires, desiring things that God doesn't want for us, desiring money, the love of money, can overwhelm us if we're not careful. So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you. So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
We thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting our website, bywaymedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.